Welcome back to Considerations from the Capitol for the Deeper Dive Podcast. My name is Bill Winnell, as always joined by Father Larry Swing. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Today's Sunday of the fifth week of Easter, and Father will reflect on today's Gospel from St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. But this is my Father, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Father.
All right. So today we're going to focus on three P's for the vine and the branches gospel. And we're all very familiar with this gospel, but every gospel sort of has a lot of richness to it. And these are images that our Lord brings of himself and our relationship with him. And the first P is the purpose of our discipleship. And it's to bear fruit. And how do we bear fruit? By doing the will of God, and through his will, making other disciples. You know, for instance, as a priest, I'm to make, more Catholics. Married couples are to have children. God wants them to have and raise them up to know the faith. Youth groups are to grow and thrive by establishing good friendships and getting other kids to live lives of virtue. But also personally, we are called to bear fruit in our life. In other words, the fruits of holiness. Fruit in the Bible is many times indicative of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one thing to ask ourselves is, with my relationship with Christ and my faith in the Catholic Church, do I find that I'm growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Things like generosity, chastity, mercy, forgiveness, zeal for God, and so forth. Hopefully we do see a change, and there's fruit from our relationship with Christ. But we have to bear fruit. And I think, too, that unfortunately we're just not seeing maybe as much fruit. Hopefully we are, but it seems, corporately that there's a little bit of pruning going on right now. But are we seeing fruits of holiness in our parish and parish schools and our lives and our families? What are we producing, And that depends upon if we're holy or not. And that's basically the main fruit is that we have to become saintly. That's the fruit that God wants us to produce in our lives and to become like him. And we have to realize that only it's a gift from God. And what happens if we're not producing? Well, Lord, because he's a caring God and he wants to care for his vine, the church, he's got to do things that hurt to make us grow. And so it'll prune us. And so pruning will happen if we're dead weight. I remember watching my mom prune a rose bush in the fall. It seemed like she was killing the poor plant, just cutting it up into basically nothing. And sure enough, in the spring, that little cut up, I don't know what you would call it at the time, but that plant became this beautiful rose bush. And why is this? Because anyone who's partakes in gardening knows that at times you have to cut back dead branches from trees and from vines and from bushes, because the dead branches suck energy out of the rest of the plant. It can eventually kill it. And so Jesus, being a good shepherd, like we talked about, I would say a good gardener, has to make sure that his vine is healthy. And so he'll take out what's called the suckers. And they're the things that draw strength away from the main branch, the things that are sucking life out of us or out of our families, out of our parishes. In the book of Lobdare, it likens this sort of image to a parasite, something that attaches itself to us and sucks energy. And the love there It says a parasite is anything that latches onto you and your partner. Talk about marriage. And sucks the life out of your marriage. They're using the form of addictions like gambling, drugs, or pornography. They promise pleasure, but they grow like a disease and consume more and more of your thoughts, time, and money. They steal away your loyalty and heart from those you love, right? And who we're supposed to love the most is God. And I guess that's a great question is, in our lives today, is there any dead weight that just simply has to go? But how does God prune us, right? Now, let's go back to that image. I'm sure if a rose plant could talk, it would say ouch every time, you know, the scissors are being forced upon these branches. And but you know, I think truth to be told is that sometimes God purifies us through some type of trial or painful purification. Saint Faustina, in her diary, she said this: in order to purify a soul, Jesus uses whatever instruments he likes. Now, he can use sickness or interior suffering to purify a soul. He's a physician, and we need to trust that he knows what we need and when we need it. I can't count the amount of people I've experienced in my priesthood. It's very beautiful, who have come back to confession after many years because of a trial. Either their marriages were on the rocks, or there's some tough medical diagnosis, a death in the family. And what we can see is God can use these trials to prune us. Whether we like it or not, we're going to be pruned here or in purgatory. So we have to realize that God has to prune us. And finally, there's persistence. The last thing we talk about today is the persistence of the disciples, that we have to persist and remain on the vine. Now, the text says, remain in me as I remain in you. And I want to make this point that in this short gospel, the word remain occurs seven times. And I guess we need to get the point, remain. And the word in Greek, it basically means to abide, which means to habitually stay somewhere, like stay put. And so we have to stay put, you know, and stay stable with the vine 24/7, 365 days of the year. What are some ways that we could stay abide? Well, I think it's good to look at other areas where Jesus uses abide, and I don't want to go too long on this, but let's just look at this one in particular. His word. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it will should be done for you. And I think too, it's like his word is purifying. And I read a very interesting article recently. I came across it in my studies. And apparently on January 4th, 2017, the Washington Post did a highlight of a study done in Canada. And it was basically they interviewed all these different types of parishes, and they were saying which ones were you know, growing in numbers and which ones were dying. And basically, out of the 22 mainline congregations in Ontario, those that were the Orthodox Protestant churches, in other words, the ones that were staying, that, you know, basically said the Word of God says this, therefore we do this, were growing. But the churches that were unorthodox and we're changing God's word, you know, in terms of like what marriage is or what, you know, what faithfulness means or what love means or whatever that is, they're dying. And I think it's just a clarion call that, you know, in order for a church or for any of us to bear fruit, we have to stay faithful to God's word and not change it to accommodate our comfortable lifestyles, but use it to purify us. Secondly, you know, we could see that we have to abide with God in prayer. I think this is that using once again this image of a vine and branches is that, you know, it's sort of like the fertilizer where our relationship with Jesus grows. And you know, we're a part of the vine. We're not just an extent. We're like a part of the vine. So we're supposed to have this like relationship where the blood is flowing through us and we're experiencing, you know, life in Christ, and prayers where that happens. And I remember in the seminary, they used to tell us that, you know, when guys leave the priesthood, it's usually the first thing that goes is they're praying the breviary. They stop praying the Psalms that we're promised to pray. And then secondly, they stop doing meditation. Thirdly, they stop going to confession, and then they just stop practicing. And, but I've never met a priest who's faithful to his holy hour where he's stayed faithful. And I'm sure all of us have experienced, you know, in times of weakness that prayer has kept us going, right? Why? Because we're attached to the vine, and Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And finally, I think most importantly is the strength and the grace that we get from Holy Communion. And Jesus will say in another gospel, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. All right. In other words, you know, you think about this whole thing of a vine, a grapevine, it produces, grape juice, which will turn into wine, which in our Catholic Church will turn into the blood of Christ. And, you know, talk about life support. The Eucharist is our basically our life support. You know, why? Because it increases sanctifying grace in us. It purifies us from venial sins, protects us from mortal sins. And basically the third effect is that it brings us a deeper union with Christ. And once again, you know, if people are faithful, right, abide in the Eucharist, you know, and receive it worthily, they're going to find themselves just, you know, staying on the vine. And then we have to persist. And what will happen if we persist is we will bear much fruit. And then I guess the other thing is, it seems that at the end of this gospel, that if we abide in him and we pray that God will give us anything we ask. Well, once again, we talked about that yesterday, but once again, why do people that are holy, their prayers come faster? Because God can trust us with a lot if he knows that we're faithful. You know, in other words, like he's not going to give gifts to those that are going to ruin it. But you know, to look at like around, look at the churches that are thriving, look at families that are thriving, what you're going to see in there is some type of faithfulness to Jesus Christ. So today we ask that grace to abide in the Lord. And remember, we are the branches and Jesus is the vine. And we stay connected to him, all things are possible. All right, folks, God bless you.